Matthew chapter 13. We want to begin reading at verse 36. Matthew 13, beginning at verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Let's stop reading there and look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this service. We thank you for your word. And we ask you to speak to our hearts as we look into it for a few moments tonight. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to continue our studies concerning our nation, where we have been, where we are now, how we got into the conditions that we see around us, and then to consider where we are headed as a nation. We've been thinking about the point in our history when this country went from liberty to abundance. A period that began, we're saying, around 1870. It's an important time in our history because so many of the blessings, so many of the conveniences that we enjoy today, like the automobile and the airplane and the fuel to power them, the telephone and the light bulb and electrical power generation, advances in medicine. While these things have progressed and been improved, we find many of their beginnings here in this time period when God brought all of these blessings that we enjoy today on this country. And he did it in this period when America went from liberty to abundance, beginning around 1870 and continuing to around 1947. But while the Lord was moving and working in this nation, so was Satan. That's why we've come to these verses in Matthew chapter 13 to look at the parable of the tares among the wheat. And what the Lord tells us in his explanation of this parable, I believe, has a very direct application to us in this country, in this hour. In verse 36, the disciples asked the Lord to declare unto them the parable of the tares of the field. And beginning in verse 37, the Lord does that. Notice again, he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The Lord tells us that he is the sower of the good seed, and that the good seed that he is sowing are the children of the kingdom. And then he tells us who the tares are. The tares are the children of the wicked one, and the enemy that sowed them is the devil. So, as we noted last time, there are two sowers in this parable. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the enemy, the devil. And what each of them sow are people. What each of them sow are people. It's a very critical, critical point. And if you think about it, right here in this parable is the battle of the ages. the Lord planting His people here in the world to accomplish His plan and purpose, and the devil planting his people in the world to oppose and to obstruct and to try to defeat the plan and the purpose of God. I want us to see that tonight. Turn back for just a minute to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and we want to read verse 27 first of all. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Now if you will, look at verse 31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, sowed good seed in His field. He sowed good seed in the world. We just read the description of that good seed that He sowed. Male and female, a man and a woman, created in the image of God, who described them and everything that He created as very good. That is good seed. And the plan and the purpose of God was for Him to have union and communion with this good seed, with this man and this woman that He sowed in His field. Now look over a page to Genesis chapter 3. Because no sooner did the Lord plant good seed in His field than what we see is the devil, the enemy, coming along. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. I would like to suggest the thought to you that what we have in Genesis 3 and verse 1 is the first tear in all of history. Notice that it is a single tear. That's important for us to see, because the singular tear of all eternity is that old serpent called the devil and Satan. He arrived here on earth after being cut down to the ground. That's how he got here. He was cast out into the earth. And he sowed himself here. And he immediately begins to work to oppose and obstruct and to try and defeat the plan and the purpose of God. God's purpose is union and communion with the man and the woman that He created. Satan's purpose is to disrupt and oppose and defeat the purpose of God. And we learn something very critical as we look at this first tear. Notice the word subtle. It's no accident that the Spirit of God uses this word to describe the first tear. And we want to keep this meaning in mind as we go forward in these studies. This word subtle means shrewd. It means crafty and sly. It means prudent. It conveys the idea of being reasonable. That's what the word prudent means. Right here in the first tear, we see the characteristic of all the tares that are the children of the wicked one. The characteristics of those tares that he will sow. And this characteristic makes tares hard to identify. We see that here. Eve and Adam didn't identify this first tear. I believe that this first tear, I believe that the serpent had the beauty of the coverings that he had as Lucifer, son of the morning. As the anointed cherub that covereth, so that as he planted himself here, the iniquity that was found in him, his corrupted wisdom, the fact that he was an offense to God, was very well covered. It was not visible to Adam and Eve. And they didn't discern it. And you know what happened here. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The union and communion between the man and the woman, between Adam and Eve and the Lord, was broken. Because they did not recognize this first tear because of his subtlety. Now look at Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Here in this chapter, the union and communion and fellowship between Adam and Eve and the Lord has been restored. And what made this restoration possible is the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. We read about that in chapter 3 and verse 21. And Adam and Eve, believing that message and putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, looking forward to the time when He would come, and being clothed in the garments that were the purchase of blood, restored the fellowship between them and God. Here in chapter 4, Adam and Eve have children. Two sons, Cain and Abel. And as we read these verses, we need to remember that they tie back to Genesis 3 and verse 15. Right here is the beginning of the seed of the woman. Right here is the beginning of the plan and the purpose of God, as prophesied in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. The plan of God that will end when the fullness of the time will come. And God will send forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Here's the beginning of the plan and purpose of God. And what do we see? The enemy. The devil. Sowing a tear. One of the children of the wicked one. One of the serpent's seed. And notice the subtlety of this tear. It's Adam and Eve's own son. Their firstborn. I was thinking about what a beautiful baby he probably was. First baby born into the world. Well, how could he be a tear? He's so cute. He's such a delight. And as he grows up, he's such a hard worker. Boy, he's such a good boy. He's diligent and faithful in his worship of the Lord. Why, look, he brings of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. All of this is captured in that word that describes the first tear that we find here in the Word of God. That word, subtle. Cain's life on the surface seems so prudent. It seems so reasonable. It seems so right. But he was a tear. And he choked out the life of the good seed. He choked out the life of the wheat, Abel, that the Lord had sown. But the Lord wasn't done in bringing about His purpose and plan. Look at Genesis chapter 4 in verse 25. Now, I don't want you to get nervous. We're not going through the entire Bible tonight. So you can relax. Some of you may have thought, surely that guy is not. We're not. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And now, all through Genesis chapter 5, because men are calling on the name of the Lord, we have their names here. The Lord is sowing good seed in His field. He's sowing the children of the kingdom, if you will. But the enemy is sowing too. And just as the Lord is sowing the children of the kingdom, the devil is sowing his children, the children of the wicked one. And we see the tares that he's sowing. We see that those tares beginning to grow in Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. As Cain goes out from the presence of the Lord and builds first a city and then builds an entire civilization. And what we want to think about here and see is that both are growing together. The tares and the wheat. And the tares are so hard to see. The tares are so hard to discern. So much so that in Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God, the godly line of Seth, cannot distinguish the tares, the daughters of men, the ungodly line of Cain, from themselves. That's how closely the tares look like the wheat. And again, that takes us back to this word subtle in chapter 3 and verse 1. The difference, the distinction between the wheat and tares is so subtle that it's almost imperceptible. And so we read in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 2 that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. You know the result here. The result is the judgment of God in the worldwide flood. After the flood, the Lord begins to work His purpose and His plan. He tells Noah and his sons in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He tells them so they don't miss it. He tells them the same thing in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 7. And you be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. In other words, I want you to be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. I want you to replenish the earth. I want you to multiply. That's the Lord's plan. That's the Lord's purpose. But again, as He is sowing the children of the kingdom, we see the enemy. And what's the enemy doing? He's working to thwart God's plan and purpose. He's going to be sowing tares. And he does through the descendants of Ham. Especially through Ham's son Cush. He sows tares, and the chief of those tares is Nimrod. And his kingdom is Babel. And we read about that kingdom in Genesis chapter 11 in verse 2, if you'll look there. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 2, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, listen, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So here's the tares. And their philosophy, thwarting the plan and the purpose of God. God's plan is to be fruitful and multiply, be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. Satan sows the children, his children there, the children of the wicked one. And their philosophy is at loggerheads with that. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And the wheat and the tares grow together. I mean, how are you going to distinguish them from each other when the whole earth, as we see in verse 1, was of one language and of one speech? You can't. And the result is the coming down and the executing of judgment by God. He comes down and He confounds and confuses the language so that they could not understand one another's speech. And as we see in chapter 11 and verse 8, the Lord scattered them abroad. The Lord scattered them abroad. His purpose is not going to be thwarted and defeated. Satan's going to try. But the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church. They're not going to prevail against the purpose and the plan of God. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. And God's purpose and plan comes to pass. In chapter 10, we read that the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, we read about them in their nations. By these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. It's interesting, we don't have time to talk about it tonight. But it's interesting how when Satan moves in and he sows the tares and he to thwart the plan and the purpose of God, it's interesting how many times that ends in God's judgment. God's judgment. Maybe we'll talk about that in another message. In the meantime, something to think about. Chew on a little bit. Later, in Genesis chapter 11, we have the call of Abram. And God's promise that He would make of Abram a great nation. The Lord promised to bless him and make Abram's name great. And Abram would all the nations and the families of the earth be blessed. And the Lord promised him the land of Canaan. And He promised him a son that would come forth out of Abram's own bowels. And his son would be Abram's heir. Here again is God's plan and purpose. His plan and purpose through this good seed, through the children of the kingdom, Abraham and Sarah, who He's going to sow. And what happens? What happens? The enemy sows a tare. And how he sows that tare is worth our thinking about. He sows a tare in the family of Abram when Abram, in his rebellion, leaves the place where the Lord called him, the land of Canaan. He left there in under circumstances that seem reasonable, prudent. There was a famine in the land. And Abram and his family go down into the land of Egypt. And you remember what happened there. Abram's exposed as a liar. He told Sarah to tell the folks there that you're my sister. And Sarah very obediently did that. And Pharaoh takes her, and the Lord plagues Pharaoh's house. And Abram is exposed as a liar and he's sent out of Egypt. But when they leave there, they take with them a tare that the enemy sowed. Sarah's handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And when Sarah bare Abram no children, in the face of God's promise that they would have a child, God's promise that that child would come from Abraham, and obviously through his wife, Sarah, in the face of that promise, in their rebellion and disobedience, Abram and Sarah came up with a plan. And their plan is to turn to this tare that was so suddenly sown there in Abram's house by the enemy when they went down into Egypt. And so the plan was for Abram to marry Hagar and have a child by her. And that's what they did. And from this son, this tare that was born, Ishmael, who persecuted the wheat, by the way, a little later on, we find in Genesis chapter 21, Paul uses that language in Galatians chapter 4, how Ishmael persecuted Isaac. And from this tare, the first tare, Hagar, her tare son, Ishmael, the enemy has sown the tares of the Arab nations. And those tares have grown up among the wheat of the people of God. And they're there at this very hour. And the purpose of those tares is to root out and destroy the wheat of Abraham's seed. And the lesson that we ought to consider from this, and it's a very sobering lesson, is that believers, God's people, by their rebellion and disobedience, can be used by the enemy to sow tares among the wheat with serious, serious, and long-lasting consequences. Turn over to Exodus chapter 12. Remember what I said, we're not going through the whole Bible. We've made it to Exodus, but don't get discouraged. Exodus chapter 12. We're familiar with this chapter. It's one of the most glorious chapters in the Bible. It's the chapter of the Passover lamb that points to Christ, our Passover, who is sacrificed for us. It's the chapter of the Passover lamb and the shedding of the blood of that lamb. And it's another chapter about the purpose and the plan of God. The purpose and plan of God here is to deliver His people from the slavery and the bondage of Egypt through the power of the blood of the Lamb. And then His plan is to take those people, deliver those people, and sow them, sow the children of the kingdom in the land of Canaan that He promised to give Abram. But I want you to see something here. In the midst of this great chapter of victory and deliverance, the enemy is at work, sowing tares. Look at Exodus chapter 12 and verse 38. If you've never underlined these words in your Bible, I would recommend that you underline them. They're important words. Exodus 12 and verse 38. And a mixed multitude went up also with them. And a mixed multitude went up also with them. Here's the enemy, the devil. Every time we see the Lord moving and working in His purpose and plan and sowing the good seed sowing, the children of the kingdom. You can count on it. Here's the enemy, the devil, sowing the children of the wicked one, tares. His children among the good seed, among the wheat. Now I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 11. We skipped Leviticus. Numbers chapter 11. In the first three verses of this chapter, we read about a place called Taberah, where the fire of the Lord burnt among the people because they complained against the Lord. And we read that the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. So here are God's people, and they have this complaining, ungrateful attitude. Now, where did that attitude of heart come from? What was the source of the complaining? What was the source of the discontent? Well, the Spirit of God gives us some insight here into where it may have come from. Some insight as to the source of the complaining. Look at Numbers chapter 11 and verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. We read about these people in the very chapter where God's people were delivered, where they began their journey in the purpose and plan of God to go to the land of Canaan, the land that He gave to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And we read there that this mixed multitude was among them. Satan, the enemy, sowed them among the people of God. And now here we are in the journey. And what happens? The mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. This is the tares that were sown in Exodus 12:38. And here they are lusting. And the result of the lusting of the tares was that the wheat, the children of Israel, the children of the kingdom also. I want you to look at that word also in verse 4. It's a very important word, a little four-letter word. But it's very important. The children of Israel also, the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" The wheat, just like the tares, falls a-lusting. They wept and they asked this question, "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" And this mixed multitude whose heart was still in Egypt, all of a sudden the heart of the people of God, they don't remember the Passover lamb. They don't remember the Passover lamb. They don't remember the slavery. They don't remember the bondage. They don't remember what they delivered from. What do they remember? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. Think of that. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. This is why the enemy, the devil, sows the tares, his children among the wheat, to cause the hearts of God's people to loathe the bread of God which came down from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, in favor of the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlics of Egypt. If you don't think that's happening in churches all over America today, it's exactly what's happening. There are other examples here in the Old Testament that we could mention. But I want to mention one in the New Testament. And that one is Judas, perhaps the second most famous tare in the Bible, the devil being the first. Judas was a tare among the wheat of the disciples. When you think about Judas, that word subtle in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 comes to mind. If we had been looking down on the 12, that tare would have just looked like the wheat. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1 we read, "And when he," the Lord Jesus, "had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." And if you keep reading there, you'll get to verse 4 where you will find the name of Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed the Lord. In Mark 3:14 we read, "And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach." Judas preached in the name of Jesus. And in the Lord's name he cast out devils and he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease and did many wonderful works. But he was a tare. But he resembled the wheat so closely. Think about this. He resembled the wheat so closely that when the Lord exposed him as a tare in the upper room, the disciples, the real wheat, still did not know that Judas was a tare. Folks, this is how the devil works. And the Lord is telling us about how he works in this parable in Matthew chapter 13. And the way that he has worked since the beginning, the way that he's worked all the way through the Old Testament, the way that he has worked all through history, is the way he's working today. This message is just the introduction to what we'll be talking about in the next one, Lord willing. But before we close, there's two questions that we need to think about. The first one is, are you, like Judas, a tare among the wheat? Judas spent 3.5 years with the Lord. Judas spent 3.5 years among the Lord and His people, just like people can do today when they come to a service like this. Because the Lord is here and His people are here. But Judas was a tare. Are you a tare? There's a way to find out. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates." The other question is this: if we're saved, is there any area of our life where we're like Abraham and Sarah? Any area of our life whereby our rebellion and disobedience, we're being used by the enemy to sow tares among the wheat? Sowing tares among the wheat that can have very serious and very long-lasting consequences. May the Lord help us to think about these things and examine ourselves before Him tonight. Our time is gone. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this wonderful book, Your Word. We thank You for the lessons that You place here. And Father, we pray that You would help us to examine ourselves tonight. Examine ourselves, first of all, to see whether we be in the faith. To see if we're a tare. To see if we're like Jesus, rather like Judas, who comes and meets with the Lord Jesus and His people and yet goes on and lives and will not have the Lord Jesus to reign over us. We pray that if we are saved, that we would examine ourselves tonight to see if there's any area of our life where we, through our disobedience and rebellion, are being used by the enemy to sow tares among the wheat. We pray that You would just help us to consider these things tonight. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.